Today's lesson is John chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. Please listen for the word of God. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name, and that you have given me, so that they may be one, as we are one." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson is from Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Please listen for the word of God. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord God, as we ponder upon the scripture lessons this morning, we ask that your spirit guide my words and all of our thoughts. Amen. Throughout my career as a preacher, I've had the opportunity to preach many graduation sermons. And I've also had the opportunity to preach many confirmation sermons. But I don't remember ever having the opportunity to do both on the same Sunday. Which makes this a pretty special Sunday. And when you think about it, graduation and confirmation are similar in this respect. Both launch our young people on a new journey. A journey that, if they follow God's lead, will take them to some wonderful places. And that is why I chose this passage from the Gospel of Mark, the one that Lucy read, as our main scripture reading this morning. Mark tells the story of four fishermen and the amazing journey that began for them. Not as a graduation ceremony, not as a confirmation Sunday, but it began for them as they were sitting on the shores of a lake. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were fishermen. They made a living catching fish and selling them in the local market. For them, fishing was not a sport or a hobby, but a livelihood. For them, fishing was a business, and a day without catching fish was a day that they went hungry, which is why they used nets and moved all over the lake to find where the schools of fish were located. And when they weren't fishing, they were mending those nets and repairing those boats. Peter and Andrew, James and John, they were all part of the family business of fishing. Their skills had been honed since they were small boys, and their knowledge of the lake came from generations of accumulated knowledge. They knew their business inside and out, and they were fishermen, as far as we can tell, who were very successful at what they did. Now, it appears that it was on a typical day that Jesus approached these four fishermen and invited them on a new adventure. "Follow me," he said, "and I will make you fishers of people." People, not fish. Dry land, not water. Words, not nets. For the four fishermen, this was unknown territory. I am sure that they had no idea what they were getting into when they stood up from their nets and walked over to Jesus. "I will have you fish for humans," he said. And so what did these four fishermen say? "Whatever you say, boss," or something like that. And they were off on a new journey. I've always wondered what went through their minds when they left everything to follow Jesus. Did they expect to be back that night or even the next day? Did they realize they were going to be gone for years? Did they know what was in store for them and for their new leader? Probably not. They certainly didn't know that by leaving their nets, they were going on a journey that would lead them to Jerusalem and would lead them to Calvary as well. That couldn't have been in their minds that morning when Jesus invited them to come with him and fish for people. In leaving their nets, they set out on a journey in which all things familiar to them no longer applied. Fishing for people was not going to be anything like fishing for fish. They would be pushed out of their comfort zone into a place where they would be unsure and uncertain. Sort of like having the confirmation kids read the prayers this morning, right? Pushed into a place that you were uncomfortable and uncertain. And so going through their mind had to be questions like, what would they do? What did it mean to fish for people? What would they say? All the wrong things, as Peter would discover. And what if they got in trouble? And Peter found out what would happen with that as well. So perhaps I'm not far off in comparing Jesus' call to these disciples as comparing it to graduation and confirmation. For our graduates, our comparison is pretty close. Our graduates are marking a milestone in their educational life. They had finished with high school or college or trade school, and now they're facing a new challenge. For some, this challenge will be more education. For others, it will be an enlistment in the military. For others, it will mean a job and the beginning of a career. And for all our graduates, they will be stepping away from something that is familiar into something for them that will be new, a new journey, something that'll be uncertain, just like Peter and Andrew and James and John. For our confirmation class, the comparison might not be so obvious. For while confirmation is over, the rest of your life kind of stays the same, doesn't it? You will move ahead a grade in school soon. You'll move from middle school to high school soon. You will still live at home. You will still see your friends. Not that much will change. You are not being called away like our graduates or like Peter and Andrew and James and John. But you are. You are being called away. Through this confirmation program that you have just gone through, you are experiencing Jesus inviting you on an adventure in faith. Just like Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Jesus is calling out to you and inviting you to join him on a great journey, a journey of discipleship. Jesus is asking you to take what you have learned and apply these teachings to your lives and to the world around you. Jesus is asking you to see what sort of difference you can make. And you can make a difference. You can make the world a better place. You can be like Wujin Cheon, who volunteers at a child care center in his church. He goes there after school to help with preschoolers. But beyond that, he also goes to tutor the elementary kids who are waiting there for their parents to get off work. And he does more than that. He has organized fundraisers to raise money to buy school supplies for these kids so that they'll be able to do their work on their own. Or you could be like Katie Lamb, who volunteers for Teen Line, a teen-to-teen crisis hotline. Nearly 9,000 youth call this hotline each year. Katie is one of the many teenagers who have been trained to listen, trained to not judge those who call and help them assess their options. Or you could be like Romina Norbakish, who helps with a mission program in her community called Teens for Genes. Isn't that a great name? Teens for Genes. Romina helps collect used jeans from her classmates and takes them to homeless shelters. Romina and her fellow volunteers collected over 500 pairs of jeans in 1 month. And so 500 young homeless people now have something decent to wear. Or you could be like Jaquiel Jackson, who as a child in Chicago helped his aunt distribute food at the church's homeless shelter. But that wasn't enough for Jaquiel. He saw that many of Chicago's homeless never made it to the shelter. So he started a new project where he and his friends make blessing bags full of snacks and toiletries and socks and a towel, and they distribute them to the homeless in his neighborhood. All over the world, young Christians like yourself are taking on the challenges of the world and making a difference. And this is what you, as confirmation students and as graduates, can do too. Jesus is calling you on a new journey and a new adventure. He is calling you to make a difference in the world, to be fishers of people, to see that the needs of the world are not ignored, not exploited, but are met. Jesus is calling out to you, graduates and confirmation students, and everyone else in this room, to see the problems of the world as problems that can be solved with the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. And that will be a wonderful journey. Amen.